Hey, kitten. We're continuing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Harry! Hey, Harry! Harry looked around. Jack Sloper, one of the beaters on last year's Gryffindor Quidditch team, was hurrying toward him, holding a roll of parchment. For you, panted Sloper. Listen, I heard you're the new captain. When are you holding trials? I'm not sure yet, said Harry, thinking privately that Sloper would be very lucky to get back on the team. I'll let you know. Oh, right. I was hoping it'd be this weekend. But Harry was not listening. He had just recognized the thin, slanting writing on the parchment. Leaving Sloper in mid-sentence, he hurried away with Ron and Hermione, unrolling the parchment as he went. Dear Harry, I would like to start our private lessons this Saturday. Kindly come along to my office at 8 p.m. I hope you are enjoying your first day back at school. Yours sincerely, Albus Dumbledore. P.S. I enjoy acid pops. He enjoys acid pops, said Ron, who had read the message over Harry's shoulder and was looking perplexed. It's the password to get past the gargoyle outside his study, said Harry, in a low voice. Ha, Snape's not going to be pleased. I won't be able to do his detention. He, Ron, and Hermione spent the whole of break speculating what Dumbledore might teach Harry. Ron thought it would be likely to be spectacular jinxes and hexes of the type the Death Eaters would not know. Hermione said such things were illegal, and thought it much more likely that Dumbledore wanted to teach Harry advanced defensive magic. After break, she went off to Arithmancy while Harry and Ron returned to the common room, where they grudgingly started Snape's homework. This turned out to be so complex that they still had not finished when Hermione joined them for their after-lunch free period, though she considerably speeded up the process. They had only just finished when the bell rang for the afternoon's double potions, and they beat the familiar path down to the dungeon classroom they had for so long been Snape's. When they arrived in the corridor, they saw that there were only a dozen people progressing to Newt level. Crabbe and Goyle had evidently failed to achieve the required owl grade, but four Slytherins had made it through, including Malfoy. Four Ravenclaws were there, and one Hufflepuff, Ernie McMillan, whom Harry rather liked, despite his pompous manner. Harry, Ernie said portentously, holding out his hand as Harry approached. Didn't get a chance to speak in the Defense Against the Dark Arts this morning. Good lesson, I thought, but shields, charms, our old hat, of course, for us old DA lags. And how are you, Ron, Hermione? Before they could say more than fine, the dungeon door opened and Slughorn's belly preceded him out of the door. As they filed into the room, his great walrus mustache curved about above his beaming mouth, and he greeted Harry and Zabini with particular enthusiasm. The dungeon was, most unusually, already full of vapors and odd smells. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sniffed interestingly as they passed large bubbling cauldrons. The four Slytherins took a table together, as did the four Ravenclaws. This left Harry, Ron, and Hermione to share a table with Ernie. They chose the one nearest a gold-colored cauldron that was emitting one of the most seductive scents Harry had ever inhaled. Somehow it reminded him simultaneously of treacle tart, the woody smell of a broomstick handle, and something flowery he thought he might have smelled at the Burrow. He found that he was breathing very slowly and deeply, and that the potion's fumes seemed to be filling him up like a drink. A great contentment stole over him. He grinned across at Ron, who grinned back lazily. Now then, said Slughorn, whose massive outline was quivering through the many shimmering vapors. Scales out, everyone, and potions kits, and don't forget your copies of Advanced Potion Making. Sir, said Harry, raising his hand. Harry, my boy. I haven't got a book or scales or anything, nor has Ron. We didn't realize we'd be able to do the newt, you see. Ah, yes, Professor McGonagall did mention. Not to worry, my dear boy, not to worry at all. You can use ingredients from the store cupboard today, and I'm sure we can lend you some scales. And we've got a small stock of old books here. They'll do until you can write to Flourish and Botts. Slughorn strode over to a corner cupboard, and after a moment's foraging, emerged with two very battered-looking copies of Advanced Potion Making by Libatius Borage, which he gave to Harry and Ron, along with two sets of tarnished scales. Now then, said Slughorn, returning to the front of the class and inflating his already bulging chest so that buttons on his waistcoat threatened to burst off. I've prepared a few potions for you to have a look at, just out of interest, you know. These are the kinds of things you ought to be able to make after completing your newts. You ought to have heard of them, even if you haven't made them yet. Anyone tell me what this one is? He indicated the cauldron nearest the Slytherin table. Harry raised himself slightly in the seat and saw what looked inside like plain water boiling away. Hermione's well-practiced hand hit the air before anyone else's. Slughorn pointed at her. It's Veritaserum, a colorless, odorless potion that forces the drinker to tell the truth, said Hermione.
Very good, said Slughorn happily.
Now, he continued, pointing at the cauldron nearest the Ravenclaw table. This one here is pretty well known, featured in a few ministry leaflets, too. Who can... Hermione's hand was fastest once more.
It's Polyjuice Potion, sir, she said.
Harry, too, had recognized the slow, bubbling, mud-like substance in the second cauldron, but he did not resent Hermione for getting credit for answering the question. She, after all, was the one who had succeeded in making it back in their second year.
Excellent, excellent. Now this one here...
Yes, my dear, said Slughorn, now looking slightly bemused as Hermione's hand punched the air again.
It's Amortentia.
It is indeed. It seems almost foolish to ask, said Slughorn, who's looking mightily impressed. But I assume you know what it does.
It's the most powerful love potion in the world, said Hermione.
Quite right. You recognize it, I suppose, by its distinctive mother-of-pearl sheen.
And the steam rising in characteristic spirals, said Hermione enthusiastically. And it's supposed to smell differently to each of us, according to what attracts us, and now I can smell freshly mown grass and new parchment, and...
But she turned slightly pink and did not complete that sentence.
May I ask your name, my dear, said Slughorn, ignoring Hermione's embarrassment.
Hermione Granger, sir.
Granger.
Granger.
Can you possibly relate it to Hector Dagworth Granger, who founded the most extraordinary society of potioneers?
No, I don't think so, sir. I'm Muggle-born, you see.
Harry saw Malfoy lean close to Knott and whisper something. Both of them snickered, but Slughorn showed no dismay. On the contrary, he beamed and looked from Hermione to Harry, who was sitting next to her.
Oh-ho! One of my best friends is Muggle-born, and she's the best in our year? I'm assuming this is the very friend of whom you spoke, Harry.
Yes, sir, said Harry.
Well, then, take 20 well-earned points for Gryffindor, Miss Granger, said Slughorn genially.
Malfoy looked rather as he had done the time Hermione had punched him in the face.
Hermione turned to Harry with a radiant expression and whispered,
Did you really tell him I'm the best in the year? Oh, Harry.
Well, what's so impressive about that, whispered Ron, who for some reason looked annoyed. You are the best in the year. I'd have told him if he'd asked me so.
Hermione smiled but made a shh gesture so they could hear what Slughorn was saying.
Ron looked slightly disgruntled.
Amortentia doesn't really create love, of course, Slughorn said. It is impossible to manufacture or imitate love. No, this will simply cause a powerful infatuation or obsession. It is probably the most dangerous and powerful potion in the room.
Oh yes, he said, nodding gravely at Malfoy and Knott, both of whom were smirking skeptically.
When you have seen as much of life as I have, you will not underestimate the power of obsessive love.
And now, said Slughorn, it is time for us to start work.
Sir, you haven't told us what's in that one, said Ernie Macmillan, pointing at a small black cauldron standing on Slughorn's desk.
The potion was splashing about merrily. It was the color of molten lead, and large drops were leaping like goldfish above the surface, though not a particle had spilled.
Oh-ho, said Slughorn again.
Harry was sure that Slughorn had not forgotten the potion at all, but had waited to be asked for dramatic effect.
Yes, that. Well, that one, ladies and gentlemen, is a most curious little potion called Felix Felicis.
Felicis. Felix Felicis.
I take it, he turned, smiling, to look at Hermione, who let out an audible gasp, that you know what Felix Felicis does, Miss Granger.
It's liquid luck, said Hermione excitedly. It makes you lucky.
The whole class seemed to sit up a little straighter. Now all Harry could see of Malfoy was the back of his sleek blonde head, because at last he was giving Slughorn his full and undivided attention.
Quite right, another 10 points for Gryffindor.
Yes, it's a funny little potion, Felix Felicis, said Slughorn. Desperately tricky to make and disastrous to get wrong. However, if brewed correctly, as this has been
you will find that all of your endeavors tend to succeed, or at least until the effects wear off.
Why don't people drink it all the time, sir? Said Terry Boot eagerly.
Because if taken in excess, it causes giddiness, recklessness, and dangerous overconfidence, said Slughorn. Too much of a good thing, you know, highly toxic in large quantities, but taken sparingly and very occasionally.
Have you ever taken it, sir? Asked Michael Corner with great interest.
Twice in my life, said Slughorn. Once when I was 24, once when I was 57. 2 tablespoons taken with breakfast. 2 perfect days. He gazed dreamily into the distance. Whether he was play-acting or not, thought Harry, the effect was good.
And that, said Slughorn, is apparently coming back to Earth, is what I shall be offering as a prize in this lesson.
There was silence in which every bubble and gurgle of the surrounding potions seemed manifold magnified tenfold.
One tiny bottle of Felix Felicis, said Slughorn, taking a minuscule glass bottle with a cork in it out of his pocket and showing it to all of them. Enough for 12 hours' luck. From dawn till dusk, you will be lucky in everything you attempt. Now, I must give you warning that Felix Felicis is a banned substance in organized competitions, sporting events, for instance, examinations, or elections. So the winner is to only use it on an ordinary day, and watch how that ordinary day becomes extraordinary.
So, said Slughorn, suddenly brisk, how are you to win my fabulous prize?
Well, by turning to page 10 of Advanced Potion Making. We have a little over an hour left to us, which should be time for you to make a decent attempt at the draft of living death. I know it is more complex than anything you have attempted before, and I do not expect a perfect potion from anybody. The person who does best, however, will win a little Felix here. Off you go.
There was a scraping as everyone drew their cauldrons toward them, and some loud clinks as people began adding weights to their scales, but nobody spoke. The concentration within the room was almost tangible. Harry saw Malfoy riffling feverishly through his copy of Advanced Potions Making. It could not have been clearer that Malfoy really wanted that lucky day. Harry bent swiftly over the tattered book Slughorn had lent him. To his annoyance, he saw that the previous owner had scribbled all over the pages so that the margins were as black as the printed portions. Bending low to decipher the ingredients, even here the previous owner had made annotations and crossed things out. Harry hurried off toward the store cupboard to find out what he needed. As he dashed back to his cauldron, he saw Malfoy cutting out valerian roots as fast as he could. Everyone kept glancing around at what the rest of the class was doing. This was both an advantage and disadvantage of potions, that it was hard to keep your work private. Within 10 minutes, the whole place was full of bluish steam. Hermione, of course, seemed to have progressed furthest. Her potion already resembled the, quote, smooth black currant-colored liquid mentioned at the ideal halfway stage. Having finished chopping his roots, Harry bent low over his book again. It was really very irritating, having to try and decipher the directions under all the stupid scribbles of the previous owner, who for some reason had taken issue with the order to cut up the saprophorus bean and had written in the alternative instruction, crush with flat side of silver dagger, releases juices better than cutting.
Sir, I think you knew my grandfather, Abraxas Malfoy?
Harry looked up. Slughorn was just passing the Slytherin table.
Yes, said Slughorn, without looking at Malfoy. I was sorry to hear that he had died, although of course it wasn't unexpected, dragonpox at his age.
And he walked away. Harry bent back over his cauldron, smirking. He could tell that Malfoy had been expected to be treated like Harry or Zabini, perhaps even hoped for some preferential treatment of the type he had learned to expect from Snape. It looked as though Malfoy would have to rely on nothing but his talent to win the bottle of Felix Felicis.
The saprophoric bean was proving very difficult to cut up. Harry turned to Hermione. Can I borrow your silver knife?
She nodded impatiently, not taking her eyes off her potion, which was still deep purple, though according to the book ought to be turning a light shade of lilac by now. Harry crushed his bean with the flat side of the dagger. To his astonishment, it immediately exuded so much juice, he was amazed the shriveled bean could have held it all. Hastily scooping it all into the cauldron, he saw, to his surprise, that the potion immediately turned exactly the shade of lilac described by the textbook. His annoyance with the previous owner vanishing on the spot, Harry now squinted at the next line of instructions. According to the book, he had to stir counterclockwise until the potion turned clear as water. According to the addition the previous owner had made, however, he ought to add a clockwise stir after every seventh counterclockwise stir. Could the old owner be twice right? Harry stirred counterclockwise, held his breath, stirred clockwise once. The effect was immediate. The potion turned palest pink. "How are you doing that?" demanded Hermione, who was red-faced and whose hair was growing bushier and bushier in the fumes from her cauldron. Her potion was still resolutely purple. "Add a clockwise stir," Harry started. "No, no, the book says counterclockwise," she snapped. Harry shrugged and continued what he was doing. Seven stirs counterclockwise, one clockwise, pause. Seven stirs counterclockwise, one stir clockwise. Across the table, Ron was cursing fluently under his breath. His potion looked like liquid licorice. Harry glanced around. As far as he could tell, no one else's potion had turned as pale as his. He felt elated, something he had certainly never happened before in this dungeon. "And time's up," called Slughorn. "Stop stirring, please." Slughorn moved slowly among the tables, peering into cauldrons. He made no comment, but occasionally gave the potions a stir or a sniff. At last he reached the table where Hermione, Ron, Harry, and Ernie were sitting. He smiled ruefully at the tar-like substance in Ron's cauldron. He passed over Ernie's navel concoction. Hermione's potion he gave an approving nod. And then he saw Harry's, and a look of incredulous delight spread over his face. "The clear winner," he cried to the dungeon. "Excellent, excellent, Harry. Good Lord, it's clear you've inherited your mother's talent. She was a dab hand at potions, Lily was. Here you are, then, here you are. One bottle of Felix Felicis, as promised, and use it well." Harry slipped the tiny bottle of golden liquid in his inner pocket, feeling an odd combination of delight at the furious looks on the Slytherins' faces and guilt at the disappointed expression on Hermione's. Ron simply looked dumbfounded. "How did you do that?" he whispered to Harry as they left the dungeon. "Got lucky, I suppose," said Harry, because Malfoy was within earshot. Once they were securely ensconced at the Gryffindor table for dinner, however, he felt safe enough to tell them. Hermione's face became stonier with every word he uttered. "I suppose you think I cheated," he finished, aggravated by her expression. "Well, it wasn't exactly your own work, was it?" he said stiffly. "He only followed different instructions to ours," said Ron. "Could have been a catastrophe, couldn't it? But he took a risk and it paid off." He heaved a sigh. "Slughorn could have handed me that book, but no, I get the one no one's ever written in. Puked on by the look of page 52, but..." "Hang on," said a voice close by Harry's left ear, and he caught a sudden waft of that flowery smell he had picked up in Slughorn's dungeon. He looked around, and he saw that Ginny had joined them. "Did I hear right? You've been taking orders from something someone else wrote in a book, Harry?" She looked alarmed and angry. Harry knew what was on her mind at once. "It's nothing," he said reassuringly, lowering his voice. "It's not like, you know, Riddle's diary. It's just an old textbook someone scribbled on." "But you're doing what it says?" "I just tried a few tips written in the margins, honestly, Ginny. There's nothing funny." "Ginny's got a point," said Hermione, perking up at once. "We ought to check that there's nothing odd about it. I mean, all those funny instructions, who knows?" "Hey," said Harry indignantly, as she pulled his copy of Advanced Potion Making out of his bag and raised her wand. "Specialis Revelio," she said, wrapping it smartly on the front cover. Nothing whatsoever happened. The book simply lay there, looking old and dirty and dog-eared. "Finished?" Harry said irritably. "Or do you want to wait and see if it does a few black flips?" "Seems all right," said Hermione, still staring at the book suspiciously. "I mean, it really does seem to be just a textbook." "Good, then I'll have it back," said Harry, snatching it off the table. But it slipped from his hand and landed on the floor. Nobody else was looking. Harry bent low to retrieve the book, and as he did so, he saw something scribbled along the bottom of the back cover in the same small, cramped handwriting as the instructions that had won him his bottle of Felix Felicis, now safely hidden inside a pair of socks in his trunk upstairs. It read, "This book is the property of the Half-Blood Prince." And that's the end of chapter 9. And next we'll read chapter 10 called The House of Gaunt. Okay, hope you liked that, my baby kitten. And it's bedtime for the pup. Sleep well, darling. I love you so much.